Rat Pack, where you at?
I just want to lie on the beach and eat hot dogs.
I wish I knew how.
Hey, what's going on? Lying on the beach and eating hot dogs does sound pretty good right about now. But hey, I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. It's Friday, January 17th. The divisional round is here. So let's rip through these four games, and I'll give you some thoughts on one and done in particular, a few other things to look out for here in these contests. And yeah, I'm not going to beat around the bush. FTNFantasy.com, go visit the website, but let's dive right into it. We start at 4:30 Eastern on Saturday. That is tomorrow, Houston and Kansas City. These teams did face each other fairly recently. That was back in week 16. The Chiefs won that game 27-19. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the line is 8 or 8.5, depending on the book that you're looking at. That was, I think, a 3-point spread, if I remember correctly. Let me just double check. 3 points. So they managed to cover there, but this one is obviously a bit different. And, you know, I think it's spot on. I really do. I don't expect this game to be particularly high scoring as well. So, you know, looking at it from a one and done standpoint, I have Kansas City winning. I don't think Houston wins here. Now, granted, I'm obviously not perfect so far this postseason. I'm 4-2 on the postseason. I'm not perfect throughout picking games throughout my history. But I would say if you didn't use Texans, this would be the week to use them. There is one notable exception, Joe Mixon. Now, Mixon popped up on the injury report on Wednesday with a limited practice ankle issue, then went DNP yesterday. If this was the regular season, I would say he's definitely on the wrong side of questionable. But obviously, I can't say that in the postseason, especially if it's a game here where you are underdogs, you do need all of your horses in the stable in order to get through your opponent. I would say this is a 50-50. And we actually did hear from Ian Rappaport this morning saying he has a real chance of playing. So we're up in the air. If for some reason Mixon didn't go, there is maybe deep DFS appeal to Damian Pierce, but I would be fading him in one and done. I know it would sound tempting, but you know, there's a lot of plays like that in fantasy football in general. Like if there's something that feels a little too tempting, then guess what? It's a little too tempting. And that means that a lot of your opponents are going to do the same thing. And if it ends up being a bad play, which chances are Damian Pierce isn't a good play, then you're all stuck with it, right? There's a lot of groupthink in fantasy football, and there's a lot of instinct, I will call it. I'm going to use that like air quotes that you can't see that I'm doing on the podcast. But instinct that it's just bad instinct, ultimately. A lot of plays that people will conventionally make in fantasy football are bad plays because they've been taught over the years to make these bad plays, so they feel like they should be making them. I think that would be a bad play. So if you didn't use Nico Collins, he'd be the guy I'd be going after here. I actually think you might be able to do slightly better at quarterback elsewhere. And the elsewhere, of course, is in the Detroit-Washington game, so we'll get to that in a moment. But if you did already use Jaden Daniels and you don't think Houston and the Rams get through, I'd actually rather Stroud just because of the weather conditions in Philly, which I'll get to shortly here as well. Otherwise, I mean, I expect Mahomes and Kelsey to do their thing. I expect Mahomes to spread the ball around. That's the challenge with this team, especially DFS-wise. Outside of Kelsey, you have Hollywood Brown. You have Xavier Worthy. You have DeAndre Hopkins. Heck, you even have, you know, Watson and Juju and Noah Gray and even the backfield. They spread the ball around in, so it's really tough for fantasy. I mean, it's a great problem to have for the Chiefs. It's not the best problem for us. But I am picking the Chiefs to win this game. Honestly, I think the line's about perfect. In fact, my projected score has this at 8.5. So I'm not worried about that front. I'm just going to pick the Chiefs and then go forward. I should also mention over at FTNFantasy.com, probably by the time you listen to this, my betting breakdown article will be up. It is for betting subscribers, but I give you my top plays for each game. I give you 3 best bets. Last week, I went 10-8. Not spectacular, but I was up 1.1 units. And some of the ones that I got wrong were anytime touchdowns, and usually I don't go a full unit on them anyway, but whatever. I'm just going to count it as a full unit for the sake of simplicity for the article. All right, moving on to Washington and Detroit. Obviously, Detroit is going to be heavily favored in this one. But this is one of those games, like, you can have games that are, you know, this is an 8.5 point spread as well, that, you know, maybe it's an 8 point win and it's a close game. You could have an 8 point win that's a blowout. You know, it all depends on how garbage time plays out. My suspicion is, you know, I think the line is right, but I think it's going to be a close game. And in fact, the over-under really indicates that for me. Whereas the Chiefs, same spread, don't think that's a close game. Over-under is 41.5 for the Chiefs-Texans game. It's 55.5 for Detroit and Washington. It's going to be a much closer game. And we know if you leave Washington in the game, if you let them just hang around, they could beat you at the end. This team has that ability. Cardiac kids, whatever you want to call them, but they have that ability. They've won 5 straight on their final possession. That's insanity, like really insanity. So looking at this one, I mean, you know, this is the game everybody's going to load up on in DFS. I think a lot of people in one and done would be wise to save Detroit because, you know, again, if you have it like I do. So loading up on Washington makes sense. Now, really 2 key players here are like chalk for me when it comes to one and done, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. Do we go anywhere other than that? Like, I'm really hesitant with Brian Robinson Jr. just because if they are playing from behind, I do expect a lot of Austin Ekeler. In fact, this season, Washington entered games as underdogs 5 times in terms of Ekeler's games, 5 different times. In those games, he had 47.2 receiving yards per game. So like DFS-wise, yeah, he's kind of sneaky. One and done, I think that's going a little bit too far. So I think I would just really stick to the quarterback wide receiver combo there. I don't even think I would go to Zach Ertz. I think that, you know, if I'm going to go tight end, man, I probably would go, even though I don't love the weather conditions, to the Rams with Tyler Higbee. If you haven't used him already. But anyway, yeah, I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. I don't really want to use Gibbs. I think Gibbs is fine in DFS, but just be aware that David Montgomery is back. He is playing. He's good to go. And they're going to use him like they always do. So as far as David Montgomery is concerned, like I had mentioned this on my SiriusXM show, I'm going to build Gibbs lineups. I'm going to build Montgomery lineups. I'm not going to have them both in the same lineup, although I think that could potentially work. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll dabble with one and see what it looks like. But there is a world where Gibbs has a quiet game. You know, and I know that that will break a lot of people's minds because of how good he was down the stretch. But remember, those 3 games when, you know, you put up 150 scrimmage yards plus in all 3, there was no Monty. And we know that when Monty's out there, the team's going to use him. So, you know, could this be one of those David Montgomery scores 2 touchdowns type of game where he ends up being the better DFS play? Very well could be. That's why I think it's wise to build lineups with each of them. And that's what I will do in my lineup building process. Like, I'll build lineups. I'll take a look at them. You know, I'm saving the ones that I like the most. And then I just keep kind of cycling through and, you know, all right, I'm going to do a David Montgomery lineup here. And maybe I'll have a few other players who will be locked in, but then we'll just see what else spits out in terms of the remainder of the players. And then I, you know, go with the ones that I like the most. I rarely do 150 entry contests. I'll do 20 max entry contests. And so I'm building 20 lineups. It's a little time consuming to hand build 20 lineups, but you're not hand building 150 lineups. That's for sure. So that's how I typically roll there. Otherwise, I mean, I do have Detroit winning this game. I do have Washington covering in this game, by the way. Not that I'm wagering on that, but 28.7 to 22.2 in projections, but I do think Detroit wins. Okay, so LA and Philly. There is likely going to be snow in Philadelphia for this game. There may even be snow during this game. Now, there are different pathways for this storm to take. The worst case scenario, there's like a foot of snow or close to it in Philly. The more likely is a sort of mid-range or lower end. So we could see like 6 inches. We could see, you know, 1 inch to 3 inches, which wouldn't even be that bad. However, let's put this into context. We have a Los Angeles team flying West Coast to East Coast playing in the snow. Now, it's not going to be frigidly cold. It's not going to be like 10 degrees out there. It looks like it'll be right around freezing. Looks like 34 is the projected temperature at kickoff. But still, that's cold for a Los Angeles-based team. And we have seen Stafford in the snow before, not necessarily the best. So I do think this one goes as planned in terms of what the betting markets think it's going to be. It's an Eagles 6-point spread right now, 43.5 over under. I think that's fairly accurate. I like the Rams a lot. I love Sean McVay, but I just don't think they're going to have enough here. Now, if they do, Kyren Williams, I think, is the play for DFS, just given the conditions. Puka Nacua will be fine. I am running away from Cooper Kupp. Like, I'm allergic to Cooper Kupp this week. And maybe that's my bad, but I'm just seeing so much Cooper Kupp love. Not that like everybody's like all in on him, but it's like, you want a sneaky DFS play? Cooper Kupp. And it's like, no, thank you. None. No. No, thank you. Now, I could be wrong there, but I'm staying away from him. That's my choice. Jalen Hurts. Okay. In the three career playoff wins that he has, he averages 135.3 passing yards per game. That's second lowest all time by any quarterback who's won at least three games. Only Jimmy Garoppolo lower. So he's going to have to score with his legs. I don't know how much of that happens. Now, the good news is we did see these two teams play during the season. That was in week 12. You might remember week 12 for a better reason. That was the week that Saquon Barkley went for 255 rushing yards. It was a 37-20 win for the Eagles. And, you know, I'm getting like shades of LeSean McCoy in the snow. Obviously that would be crazy if history repeated itself there for the Philadelphia Eagles. But if there was a player to do that sort of thing, it would be Saquon Barkley. I love Barkley. He is like the absolute chalk for DFS purposes, but he's good chalk. You know, he is good chalk. If I was to choose a wide receiver, believe it or not, I'm actually going with Devontae Smith. So in their career, so A.J. Brown, 4 playoff games, 14 catches. Not that great, right? What, like 3.5 per game? 156 receiving yards total, 1 score. Meanwhile, Devontae Smith has 6 career playoff games, 31 catches, so he's up over 5 per game, 460 receiving yards, and also a touchdown. So he may be the slightly sneakier play. I think he's interesting. He'd be the guy I'd be leaning towards. By the way, Dallas Goedert popped up on the injury report with an illness, but he should be good to go here. At least that's the initial report, but it's something worth keeping an eye on. And I do think Higbee plays. I actually like him in one and dones. He probably is the only player, maybe Kyren Williams, would be the other player here other than Tyler Higbee. But it's going to be tough for that Rams offense to move the football. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's round it out. Baltimore-Buffalo. Can't wait for this game. Baltimore, 1.5-point favorites, a 51.5 over under. I mean, this is going to be awesome. I really just think we're going to see it across the board. Like, all the stars are going to come out. Now, the weird thing is, when you look at the way these teams are built, like, the stars, that means Lamar, that means Derrick Henry. By the way, when they played each other earlier in the season, Derrick Henry had 199 rushing yards in that game. And Baltimore won 35-10. Now, they were at home in that one, but they destroyed the Bills. Now, it was all the way back in week 4. But I think we're going to see a lot of those two, obviously, and a lot of Josh Allen. But, you know, like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen has a lot of folks to spread the ball around to. You know, he has both of his tight ends. He has Shakir. He has Amari Cooper. Apparently, he has Curtis Samuel. He has Mac Hollins. Like, they're going to spread the ball around. Keon Coleman. There's a lot of mouths to feed. Ty Johnson out of the backfield. Maybe a little James Cook out of the backfield as well. So, I think DFS-wise, if you're going to use any Bills, you kind of have to pick and choose your spots, and you kind of have to guess right. But largely, it's Josh Allen. And I do actually like him as a slightly better play than Lamar. Now, if I was going to stack him, your best bet, obviously, is Shakir. But maybe the sneaky stack is Dalton Kincaid in this one. As far as Lamar is concerned, you know, he can put up an entire week of fantasy production without a top-end receiver. And he looks like he probably will be without his top-end receiver, which, of course, is Zay Flowers. So I'd be looking to Mark Andrews here. Andrews has been a key red zone target. He didn't score last week for him, but key red zone target. I'd be looking to Rashad Bateman a little bit in DFS because his price point is reasonable. So he gives you a little bit of juice there. And if you really wanted to punt like running back, maybe Justice Hill. Now, the game script has to be right for Justice Hill to produce. If they're playing from behind, though, he will produce. Now, my projected box score, by the way, is 25.2 to 24.4. So I have, and that's Buffalo. I'm against the spread. The spread is 1.5. The Ravens giving 1.5. And I have the Bills winning by almost a point. I'm picking Buffalo to win here. Home field advantage is the real deal for them. It's going to be an epic game nonetheless. Now, how do you handle this one for one and done? You could outright fade it. You could just say, I'm not using any of these guys, and so be it. If I miss out on some points from the losing team, so be it. I want to have all of them at my disposal for the conference championship and potentially then the Super Bowl. I don't hate that idea. Like, my one and done's largely are, as I said, Washington, a little bit of Houston, because I didn't use Nico Collins last week, fortunately, and then the Rams. But you're probably going to have to pick and choose your battles from there, because I don't know if you'll be able to field a full lineup. I guess you probably could with those teams, but I'm sticking to the approach here. The teams that I don't think get through, I think five teams have a shot at the Super Bowl, so I'm using the other three. All right, so I will be back next week. This week I had to obviously wait until Tuesday to recap all the games, but I can come back on Monday to recap what we saw here. We'll do a little postmortem for the four losing teams, and then an early look ahead to the conference championship round. In the meantime, head over to ftnfantasy.com. Follow along with me on the socials. On Twitter/X, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. And on Instagram, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. Enjoy the weekend, man. Enjoy the IPA Friday or whatever you got cooking here on the weekend. Enjoy the games. Only 7 games left in this year's NFL season. Enjoy them while they last. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.
I'm ready to take on the Catalina wine mixer. I've been earning and burning, snapping necks, and cashing checks.